You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Well, good morning. My name's Keith. Welcome to Riverside. And this morning we wrap up our sermon series that we're calling Give Careful Thought to Your Ways. That statement comes directly from Haggai chapter 1, where God's people were kind of going astray, and twice God said, hey folks, give careful thought to your ways. It informs us to be very intentional about our faith. And as we wrap up this series, the last Sundays this week, I want to do something in my sermon here I've never done before as a preacher. You see, I stand up each week, I stand up here and I preach, and I'm really just trying to point us to the scriptures, right? My role is to point us to the scriptures that point us to Jesus. I'm hopefully just explaining, hopefully I'm decent at explaining some things from the Bible. Maybe I help point out how they intersect with everyday life. But at the end of the day, my role is to point to the scriptures and the one the scriptures point to. That's where the ultimate authority comes from. And so 2 weeks ago, I was walking with a buddy in this church, and we walk most Mondays together, and he pointed out as he was reading 1 John, how simple 1 John was, how powerful 1 John was, how it just read so easily, it was so understandable for him. And then so I went off that evening and reread 1 John myself. It's an amazing letter. It's more like a poetic sermon than a letter. It really can stand up on its own. And so what I'm going to do this morning is simply read out loud the entire letter of 1 John. For the most part, word for word. Now, this is similar how on Martin Luther King weekends, I read one of Dr. King's sermons. I'm going to do a very similar thing this morning. By the way, we see this throughout Scripture, the public reading of Scripture, without the preacher just commenting over and over again. We see this throughout Scripture. For example, as God's people were delivered from slavery in the book of Exodus, we read this. Then Moses took the book of the covenant and he read it aloud to the people. He read the book of the covenant aloud. And again, they all responded, we will do everything the Lord's commanded and we will obey. See, God delivers his people, and then they sat and they just listened to the word of God. After they had entered the promised land, the Bible says that Joshua read every word of every command that Moses had ever given was read to the entire assembly of Israel, including to the women and the children, the foreigners who lived among them. You see, just kind of this public reading of the scriptures. Centuries later, God's people had drifted. They had ignored the scriptures. They kind of had lost the scriptures. But then one day, someone stumbled upon the scriptures. So then the king, Josiah, he summoned all the people, the very last line there on the screen, and from the least to the greatest, the king read to them the entire book of the covenant. I'm not doing that. They had found the Bible. So they read the entire book of the covenant that had been found. After God's people returned from exile and they rebuilt a good part of Jerusalem, we read this in the book of Nehemiah, that a priest named Ezra, from early morning until noon, read aloud to everyone who could understand. And all the people listened closely to the book of the law. Listen closely to the reading of the scriptures. In the New Testament, an older pastor named Paul wrote to a younger pastor named Timothy. He said this, until I get there, focus on the reading of the scriptures in the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. And so this morning, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to simply read to us the entire letter of 1 John, for the most part, word for word. Now, I'm going to use a New Living Translation for this because the New Living Translation was translated to specifically be heard. It's a very unique thing about the NLT. Most Bible translations are meant to be read and studied. The NLT was specifically translated to be heard, to be listened to. And if you think about it, for the majority of Christian history, the scriptures have been read aloud, right? I mean, it's only since 500 years we've had a printing press. So for the first 1,500 years of church history, none of us would have had a Bible. We would have gone to the church, we would have gathered together, and it would be the public reading of the scriptures. And then, yeah, even after the printing press, not many people had Bibles like we all do. The scriptures were so often read aloud. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm simply going to read aloud 1 John. I think it's going to be great. I don't think I can really mess this up because I'm reading the Bible to us. So what we're going to do is let's acknowledge God's presence is here with us. Let's ask him to open up our hearts and our minds for what it is he has. Holy Spirit, would you open up our hearts and our minds and our ears and our eyes to your gospel, to your word, to your goodness, to you, your love. God, I'm so excited about what you teach in 1 John, the truth that is expounded upon in this letter. Would you open us up to really hear and respond? In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, here's the unique thing about 1 John. 1 John, for the most part, is a commentary on chapters 13 through 17 in the Gospel of John. Isn't that amazing? Like, so John writes the gospel in around chapters 13 through 17. He wrote these chapters, and then later in life, this letter from 1 John is more of a commentary, more of a sermon, if you will, on those chapters from the Bible. It's basically doing what I do each week. I kind of take a portion of the Bible and I reapply it to our modern day context. That's what John is doing. He takes a portion of what he wrote in the gospel and he kind of reapplies it to the people in his context. And as he's going to write about a few core things, a few core truths. He'll write about life, about truth, and about love. We're going to see about life and about truth and about love. He's going to cycle through these things a few different times. It's very beautiful. It's very poetic. It's very informative. And ultimately, we'll focus on God, how God is light and how God is love. And in light of God being light and God being love, a community of people form around that, and how that community of people should be light and be love as well. That's what the themes will be. So with that said, here we go. So we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, who we have seen and we have heard. We saw him with our own eyes. We've touched him with our own hands. He's the word of life. He's the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us and we have seen him. So we now testify and proclaim to you, he's the one. We're proclaiming to you, he's the one who's eternal life. He was with the Father. Then he came down and was revealed to us. And friends, we proclaim this to you because we have actually seen him. We've heard him. We have fellowship with him. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus. And we are writing these things that you may fully share in our joy. And friends, as a side note, I feel the same way. Like I know Jesus. I have this fellowship with Jesus. And we would love for you to know Jesus, like the way that John's talking about this church. You can know Jesus, really know him and have fellowship with him. And it brings lots of joy. So friends, this is the message we've heard from Jesus. We now declare it to you. God is light. You want to know who God is? God is light. There's no darkness in God at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but we live in darkness. See that? We're not practicing the truth then. But if we're living in the light as God is in the light, well, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But if we claim to have no sin, if any of us claim to have no sin, we're not only fooling ourselves, but we're not living in the truth. But friends, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he forgives us our sins and he'll cleanse us from all of our wickedness. But if we claim that we don't sin, we've not sinned, we're calling God a liar. We're showing that his words have no place in our hearts. So my dear children, I would typically say, hey, folks, or hey, Riversiders or friends, he says, my dear children, I'm sharing this with you so that you will not sin. There's a response to our faith, friends. But if anyone does sin, guess what? Even if you sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous, for he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only for our sins, but for the sins of all the world. Amazing. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. I mean, if someone claims, I know God, but they don't obey God, a person's a liar. They're not living for the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. How we live shows what we love, folks. This is how we know we are living in God. And those of us who say that we live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. If we say we live our lives in God, we should live the way Jesus lived. Or as we've been saying this entire series, give careful thought to your ways. Look at how you live. Is how you're living reflecting the way Jesus lived? Dear friends, I'm not writing this new commandment for you. Rather, it's an old one. You've heard this from the get-go. There's not a lot of new stuff here. This is an old commandment to love one another. It's the same message you've heard before. As a preacher, I feel the same thing. Every week, I feel like I'm saying the same exact thing. I'm saying the same thing here. I've said it again. Love one another. It's also a new message, friends. Because you see, Jesus lived the truth of this out. And now you're living it. And for the darkness is disappearing and the true light is already shining. So if anyone claims that they're living in the light, but they hate a fellow believer. This is where our faith really meets the road, doesn't it? If anyone claims, I'm living in the light, I'm living for God, but hates a fellow believer, that person's actually living in darkness. But anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. So friends, I'm saying this to you who are God's children, because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I'm saying this to you as God's children, your sins have been forgiven. I'm saying this to you who are mature in the faith because you know Jesus who's existed from the beginning. I'm saying this to you who are young in the faith because you have already won the battle with the evil one. Isn't that amazing? You young in the faith who know Christ, you've already won the battle with the evil one. I'm saying this to you who are God's children because you know the Father. I'm writing this to you. I'm saying this to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ. He's existed from the beginning. And I'm saying this to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. Hey, you who are young in the faith, if you have faith in Christ, you're strong. Because God's word lives in your heart, and you have won your battle with the evil one. And so do not love the world. In light of this, do not love the world nor the things that it offers. For when you love the world, you don't have the love of the Father in you. For the world only offers you this craving of physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and a pride in our achievements. But those are not from God the Father. They're from the world. And the world's fading away. It won't last. Along with everything that people crave. But if you do what pleases God, that lasts forever. And dear children, the last hour is here. Isn't it funny? This is written 2,000 years ago. Dear children, the last hour is here. You've heard that the Antichrist is coming. And already many such Antichrists have appeared. For this we know from the very last hour has come. Isn't it interesting? Every generation of people think they're living in the generation, the Antichrist, the end is coming. There's not a lot of new stuff under the sun. There's always this brokenness in the world. There's always this hope for Christ. There's always this hope for the kingdom to come. There's always this reality. There's people who are anti-gospel, people who are anti-Jesus, people who oppose God. Then John points out how in his church, people left the church. But those people never belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. And when they left, it proved they did not belong with us. He's pointing out some heresy that happened in the church. We'll see it later in the message. People were actually saying, Christ did not come in bodily form. He came only in spirit. And it caused all these divisions that they were messing with the divinity of Jesus, the incarnation. And so they left the church. And there's these false teachers that left the church. But for those of you who belong to God and stay committed to God's church, remember that the Holy One has given you his Spirit. And all of you know the truth. So I'm writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. Friends, do you know the difference between truth and lies? And who's the liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ, anyone who denies that the Father and the Son is the Antichrist, anyone who denies that the Son does not have the Father either, but anyone who acknowledges the Son also acknowledges the Father. So remain faithful to what you've been taught from the beginning. In other words, give careful thought to what you believe, right? Remain faithful to what you've been taught. If you do, you'll remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. In this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life he's promised us. Now, I'm writing these things to warn you about those who will lead you astray. There'll be people who will try to lead you astray, folks. But you've received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. So you don't really need people to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true. It's not a lie. So just as he taught you, remain in fellowship with Jesus. And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you'll be full of courage and not shrink back from him and shame. For we know that Christ is righteous. We also know that all who do what is right are God's children. See how very much our Father loves us? Do you see that yet? Do you already see how much God loves us? That's amazing. This is incredible. For do you see how very much our Father loves us? He calls us children. And that's what we are. We're his children. We're the children of the King of the universe. Oh my goodness. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we're God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children. But by the way, there's more to come. He's not yet shown us what we'll be like when he appears, when Christ returns. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And so there's this eager expectation that'll keep us pure, just as he is pure. So friends, everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there's no sin in him. And so if we continue to live in him, we will not sin. But everyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or does not understand who he is. I love the beginning parts that anyone who says they're without sin is lying. Here it says, guys, don't keep on sinning. If you know Jesus, it'll, come on. I love this, the back and forth, the reality of the tension of all of this. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows they are righteousness, even as Christ is righteousness. But when people keep on sinning, it shows what they belong to. They belong to the devil, who's been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Wow. We have a powerful king, don't we? And those who have been born into God's family don't make a practice of sinning. If you're part of God's family, there's this change that happens in our lives. We don't continue. We don't have this practice of sinning because we're children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. This letter says it twice in the very beginning. This is the message we've heard. I've read all that. Now there's this transition to the second half of the letter happens right here. He says the same thing again. It's kind of a literary way of bookending these two sections. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. So in light of all of that, here's the bottom line. Love. We should love one another. We must not like be Cain from the Old Testament who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. Why did he kill him? Because he was doing what was evil and his brother had been doing what is righteousness. So don't be surprised, dear brothers, if the world hates you. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, so the context here is people loving fellow believers in the church. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed on from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. And anyone who hates another brother or who hates another sister is really a murderer at heart. Sounds like Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, doesn't it? Anyone who hates his brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. There's something else within them, right? We know what real love is because Jesus showed us. He gave his life up for us. So we ought to give up our lives as well for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well, if you've got enough money and you see a brother or sister in need, but you have no compassion for them, how can God's love really be in you? If you've got everything you need, you see someone without need, you don't do anything? Dear children, don't just say that we love each other. Oh gosh, do it. Show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. And then we'll be confident as we stand before God. And even if we feel guilty, God's greater than our feelings. Amen. He knows everything. Dear friends, we can come to God with bold confidence. If our hearts don't condemn us, we can come to God with bold confidence. And we'll receive for him whatever we ask because we obey him and we do the things that please him. We're following him, friends. And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. And those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him. We obey him, we walk with him, and he walks with us. And we know he lives in us because the spirit he gives us lives in us. But dear friends, don't believe everyone who says they speak by the Spirit. Chapter 4. You must test them. Don't believe everyone who says, I follow Jesus and I just follow. No, test them. You must test to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. There are many false prophets in the world. Many people are trying to lead you away from Jesus, right? And this is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person is claiming to be a prophet, acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. Now, that's his context, right? his conscience, people were saying, Jesus came in spirit, so he didn't really resurrect from the dead. He was a spiritual thing. And so in his church, the fallacy was that. So he's writing specifically to them. If they say Jesus came in a real body, that person is the spirit of God. They're not one of these antichrists preaching a false gospel. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, well, that person is not from God. Such a person is the spirit of the antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world. And indeed, friends, it's already here. But friends, you belong to God. My dear children, you belong to God. You've already won a victory over those people because the spirit that lives within you is greater than the spirit in the world. Okay, so the spirit in you is greater than the spirit in the world. And so that those people belong to the world, they speak from the world's point of view. And of course the world listens to them, right? They speak from the world's point of view, the world listens, but the spirit in you is greater than the spirit in the world. And since they don't belong to God, they will not listen to us. This is how we know if someone's got the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. So friends, be aware. When you're listening to stuff, when you read stuff, when you listen to Christian podcasts, when you listen to my preaching or other preaching, discern, have some discernment. Have some discernment. There's a spirit of deception. There's a spirit of truth. In light of all that, dear friends, in light of all of that, let's continue, though, to love one another. Because love is what comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. If you do not love, you do not know God, because ultimately, bottom line, foundational thing to know, God is love. And if you know God, God is love. And if you know God and if you know the God of love, you have fellowship with the God of love, well then, you'll love. And God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we may have eternal life through him. Man, we're going to come to the table of communion today, guys. Remember his body and blood broken for us. We know he loves us. We know he's a good king. Yes, he's a king. We've declared that already on Christ the King Sunday. He's a king, but he's a good king, right? We know he's ultimately good because he came and he dwelt among us and he lived for us and he died for us. So that we may have eternal life now and forever, basically. Well, that's my way of putting eternal life. Eternal life now, eternal life forever through him. And this is real love, friends. It's not that it's a quid pro quo here. No. It's not that we loved God. No. He loved us. He sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. So dear friends, in light of that, since God loved us, we surely ought to love each other. In light of the cross, we surely should love each other. That's like the tone I hear. Like he's like, come on guys, he died for you. Surely you can love each other. See, no one's ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and then his love is brought to full expression. Do you know that God, people will see God as we love each other? It comes to the full expression. Not only that, God gives us his spirit as a proof. He gives us his spirit as a proof that we live in him and him in us. We've seen it with our own eyes. We testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. That should, wow. And they live in God. God lives in us and we live in God. Does that just blow your mind? Is this just wow. Oh my goodness. Wow. We know how much God loves us and we put our trust in his love. We know how much he loves us, so we put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, I love this next line. As we live in God, well, then our love grows more perfect. Do you see that? God is love. God's perfect love. As we live in this love, we grow. We grow more perfect. To the point that so we will one day not be afraid on the day of a judgment, because we can face him with confidence, because we've lived like Jesus here in this world. Because such love has no fear. Perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it's because of fear of punishment. It shows that we don't fully experience his perfect love. We love each other because he's first loved us. And then, bottom line, friends, if someone says, I love God, but they hate a fellow believer, they're lying. For if we don't love people that we can see, how can we love a God whom we don't see? There is like a real reality of our faith here, right, friends? Do you see that? And he's given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. Sounds again like Jesus, right? What's the greatest commandment? Love God, love others. All the law and prophets rest on those two commands. Chapter 5, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commands. Loving God means keeping his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. It's very important to remember, friends. Like, God's not a killjoy. So we think, God's a killjoy. He wants me to have no fun. No. No, his commandments are good. He's good. Remember, he's a good king. He's good. And so we love God as we keep his commands, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats the evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water, and also by the shedding of his blood on the cross. Not by water only, but by water and by blood. And the Spirit of his truth confirms it now with his testimony. So we have these three witnesses. We have the Spirit, we have the water of baptism, and we have the blood of Jesus. And all these three agree. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God, right? Surely we can believe the testimony that comes from God, that is Jesus. And God has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who do not believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. Friends, as a side note, this is why the Trinity is such a critical doctrine. This is why the doctrine of the Trinity is so critical. You got to read 1 John. Like, the doctrine of there's one God, but exists in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. So much community in this one God. There's so much love in this one God that there's actually distinct persons. But so much love, they're united. It's hard for my 3.5 pounds worth of brain to capture that. The Trinity makes my brain go, it hurts. But we see it's such a critical thing. It's because God is so much love. But you need community to love. You can't just be loved by yourself. You need community. Hence the brothers and sisters in the church over and over again. But there's so much love in God. It's unity. That's just amazing. This is the testimony that he's talking about. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So in conclusion, I've written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. I want you to know you can have eternal life, and you have eternal life. And we are confident that he hears us when we ask for anything that pleases him. He listens. He's a good dad. And since we know he hears us, we make a request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. The key is the previous verse, and we ask what pleases him, right? Amen. Now, this next little closing part is a little confusing. I got to remember the context. John's writing to a specific people, okay? In a specific church. And people were leaving the church, joining an anti-Christian movement, an anti-Christ movement. They were saying false things about Jesus, like he didn't come in bodily form, okay? That's what's happening. People are leaving the church. They're saying Jesus was not coming in body. They were probably saying he wasn't fully God. There are a lot of things that were going around, anti-Christ, anti-gospel, negative things about Jesus. So John's not going to pour into that context in his church, okay? So that. If you see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give that person life. But there is a sin that leads to death. And I'm not saying that you should pray for those who commit it. All wicked actions are sin. But not every sin leads to death. In other words, there are sins that, many, many sins that we will commit, right, that we can repent of. And God is good. God is loving. He knows we're not going to get it right. He opened the whole book off by saying, anyone who says they're not a sinner is a liar, right? But there's some people in church who are antichrists. That's a different level, right? People who are anti-Jesus, anti the gospel. And for those people, he's saying, not a good place to be when you're opposing Christ. We know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely. Isn't that beautiful? God holds you securely. And the evil one cannot touch them. We know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. What a battle, right? He holds us securely, but the world we're living in is under the control of the evil one, but he's got us. Ooh. And we know that the Son of God has come. He's given us understanding. He's given us understanding so that we can know the one true God. I added the word one there. I'm going to be honest. We can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son. Do you see the Trinity there, guys? We live in fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ. We can know the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God and he is eternal life. So dear children, last line. And I wanted to read this whole sermon, this whole message because of this last line. This is the sermon series we are in. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your own hearts. Repeat it. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. In other words, in our language, give careful thought to your ways. There are many things that will vie for your attention and take your attention away from God. There are many things that will vie for your affection. That will take your affection away from God. Give careful thought to what you give your mind to, your heart to, your affections towards. Dear children, Riversiders, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. And that, my friends, is the letter of 1 John. But here's the deal. There's so many times that, let's be honest, I'm more the first chapter. You know, those who say they're without sin, they're lying. There are many things that vie for my affection that I sometimes yield to. There are things that I give my affection towards more than Christ at times. One of the beautiful things of this first letter is that he's got us secure, right? Yes, there's a battle, and he is good. He's the one who's initiated. He's the one who sustains. He is good. His Spirit is in us. There's so much stuff I could just now re-preach from this whole. We should probably preach through 1 John, man. I should probably go even slower than that. It's, wow. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to sing more songs to Jesus through the Spirit that's in the room right now, compelling us and moving us. I just love that, right? And we're going to come to the table of communion. There's three tables in the front, three in the back, because he came in bodily form, friends. He actually came down, lived in human form, lived a perfect sinless life, showed us what it means to live, taught us what it means to live like him, which really means taught us how to love, right? How to love our brothers and sisters, how to love our enemies. And then he died. He died for us. His blood atones for us. And then he conquered the greatest enemy we have, which is death, right? He's at the right hand of the Father right now, advocating for us according to 1 John. Isn't that cool to think? Like right now, Jesus is going, they're mine, they're mine, got them, they're mine. Woo, that's awesome. And we can't visit his grave because you know what? He's not there, no more body, it's resurrected. And so he gave us this thing called communion where we come to remember the actual like the earthiness though of our faith, though he came in body. This is not just a spiritual thing, this is a very physical thing. It is spiritual. It's very physical. It's our brains, it's our hearts, it's our feet, it's our hands. So this morning we're going to come to the table of communion and eat in a way that remembers his body broken for us and drink in a way that remembers his blood shed for us. That's what we remember when we come to the table of communion. So I'd encourage you this morning, friends, as we sing more songs to Jesus, just think about our gospel, our good God, a God of love. A God of love, and how that love compels us and sustains us, and it's rescued us, it sustains us, it will sustain us, it will always sustain us. He is so good. Would you please stand with me? Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, I am floored by you, God. I'm in awe of you, God. We are in awe of you, God. Of your love, of your grace, of your initiative, of your gospel, your good news, your love, your overflowing love, God. God, thanks for being love. Thanks for being light. God, we confess that we are conflicted people. At times I feel like I'm loving you with all my heart and I'm just on fire. And at times I feel like I'm either shy from you or I'm walking and I'm facing a different direction, just kind of on my own, God. There's this battle within me, God, but I also know that you have me securely. Your spirit's in me and you are helping me grow in love. So God, help us grow in love. God, that love is most, according to 1 John, most clearly shown by how we love each other in this church. Because we're a family. We're the family of God. So God, I pray that we would love each other well. And God, really love each other. Not just people who gather at a mutually convenient time on Sunday morning, but people who love each other. God, I pray for this world that is under the bondage of the evil one, that you have brought your power through the cross and resurrection, God. You've broken chains, God, but there's still some people in bondage. So God, we pray that we would be your hands and feet to love them and to care for them and to rescue and to share your good news, to share your love, to share the message of a God that loves to the point of death. And we love you, and we are gathered in your name. And so we acknowledge your special presence is here. We're two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, your presence is your special presence. So Holy Spirit, whatever you're gonna do, just do it. We're open. We're open. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.